Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
The Zone is presented by Guaranteed Foods, delivering all-natural food to Midwestern families since 1958. Enjoy healthier food, more free time, free delivery, and better value. Go to GuaranteedFoods.com.
All right, we'll continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Mick Schaefer will hang out with us coming up later on this hour. We'll get the ZOUs, our Royal ZOUs, Zone Over-Unders. And go through and see who loses. You don't have to win. You just can't be the slowest swimmer in the sea. You don't have to be the fastest either to not owe everybody the lunch. We're talking now some college basketball from ESPN, our college basketball insider, Myron Metcalf, presented by Jackson County CASA. Jackson County CASA benefits when Myron Metcalf is on the air. It's court-appointed special advocates, community volunteers just like you. They stand up and speak out to help children who have experienced abuse or neglect. It's Jackson County CASA, CASA-MO.org. Talking to college basketball, Myron Metcalf joining us here in the Zone. Myron, what's up, man? How are you, sir?
Good, man. Another round coming up with the tournament, so I'm looking forward to it.
Based on your tweets, why do you hate Clemson so much? Like, do you just have like this disdain for Clemson? Do you just hate them? Did they not accept you out of college or out of high school? Like, why do you hate them so much?
Well, I mean, first off, let's be honest. Some of those guys found out they had a basketball team last week, right? So I mean, like some of that is come on. All right, everybody relax a little bit, but. Yeah, I mean, I ranked them. I did the reseeding of the Sweet 16. Mm-hmm. I ranked them last, and they were upset about it. I mean, every year I do it, some of them said, like, nobody wants to be last, but it's like you're last among the last 16 teams in the tournament. It's not like you're last place overall, so, you know, but
you didn't rank Clemson 68. Some kind of way. You didn't rank Clemson 68 out of 68 before the tournament started.
Yeah, exactly.
They're worse than Montana State.
They've gotten kind of upset a little bit. Yeah. But I don't know. I guess some of them wandered over from spring practice and heard there was a basketball game going on, and now they got, you know, a lot of strong opinions. But I got nothing against them. You know, I don't know who else I'd rank beneath them.
Yeah, I would actually – I'll volunteer as tribute for you to say Missouri is the worst team remaining in the Sweet 16. I will volunteer my team to be ranked
that, right?
16th in the Sweet 16 with a chance to go and still play in the tournament. Myron Metcalf is our guest. I wanted to talk to you about, you know, what we've seen so far in the tournament, and then we can get into, like, KU and some other things going on. But, you know, we talked how chalky the tournament was on Monday, we did here in the show. And, you know, there's been some, you know, views or opinions of, hey, this is just simply how the tournament's going to go with transfer portal and NIL. You're just going to see these blue bloods that are going to win, and you're not going to see the Cinderellas. And it's an interesting take, considering last year we saw the Cinderellas and the lower-seeded teams, and we said, well, NIL and transfer portal, this is just how it's going to be. Those big teams are not going to be able to maintain their same level of blue blood. Is either side more likely to remain, or, hey, it's the NCAA tournament. Sometimes you get 1, 2, 3, 4, and sometimes you get a 5, a 9, and an 8 in the Final Four.
Yeah, the chaos will continue. I mean, like, we're so bad in this sport about taking a small sample size and just having a whole conversation about it, right? Like, you can't trust us because we'll say something one year and then the next year we'll be like, none of that was true, right? So I don't know. I mean, to me, in the portal era, though, you're going to have more and more good teams that are outside the blue bloods that aren't among those top 25 just because they're going to have veteran dudes who are 22, 23, and if they come together and play the right way, they can make a run. So I think you'll have more potential upsets because I think instead of having a Cinderella, a team that maybe can win a game, I think you're going to have some good teams that can maybe get to the second weekend and can battle some of the better top 25 teams. So, but we do this every year. I mean, it's the greatest event in sports. It's 3 weeks of chaos. Legitimately, anything can happen. 2-1 seeds have lost in the last 6 years, mm-hmm. right? Oakland had a Division II dude torch Kentucky, which decided not to adjust. I mean, you could have an eighth grade coach, right, who would have said, listen, you can't let them keep doing the same thing. But Jack Golke comes out of nowhere, hits 10 threes.
Yeah.
Like, this is just what the tournament is. We're not football. You can't overpower everybody, you know? And I think that's why you see the parity that we've witnessed from year to year.
Well, and my point that I made when the portal was going on, and I think there was an overreaction of, okay, well, these small schools are going to lose players to the bigger schools, and it's just going to be a one-way street. And, you know, the point I made on Monday was, you know, Grand Canyon's in the game, and they're leading with, 5 minutes to go. They got a lead in that game. And their stud player is Tyon Grant Foster from Kansas. He transferred from KU. Yep. So we see those different guys. And Jack Golke didn't, go to Kentucky or North Carolina. I think Cal would have liked to have Jack Golke on his team just because he wouldn't be on Oakland. That would have been an advantageous scholarship to use. But, like, we say that see that in different years. Like, these guys that may transfer from a bigger school down to a smaller school, and they become, stars. They become, guys that get an opportunity to play many more minutes and show what they can do. And certainly Grant Foster's story is a little bit different when he's had the heart condition and, didn't know that he was going to play basketball again. So it's a really cool story. A local kid from KCK. So it's one of the reasons why, we paid a little bit more attention to Grand Canyon this year and in the tournament and watching Tyon. But, like, that's a guy that Grand Canyon's really good. Their best player is a guy that played at Kansas, for a couple of years. And so that transfer portal went the other way. Like, it's a two-way street. You might be losing some. Like, KU didn't have Ernest Uday because they got Hunter Dickinson, and TCU did have Uday. Without the transfer portal, TCU doesn't have it, and KU may not have Hunter Dickinson, but maybe they do. Maybe Uday stays as well, and it's something you and I talked about of just like maintaining that when other guys want some more opportunities. I think we should acknowledge as much as we acknowledge some of the smaller schools, the Dalton Connect from Northern Colorado, even Timberlake from Towson, and playing for Kansas. Acknowledge some of the players that went the other way and are playing at mid-major schools that were at Power Five programs at one point.
Yeah, I mean, it can go both ways. I mean, it's all about finding an opportunity.
Yeah.
Now, granted, some of these guys are leaving, and they're not going to get an opportunity, right? Because, the game of dominoes is not going to work in their favor. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's the beauty of it all. There's a chance to move up. There's a chance to move laterally. There's a chance to move down, if you will. But guys are just looking for an opportunity to compete and an opportunity to play. And, listen, we make this all about basketball because – that's the easier conversation, but like, who knows what some of these guys have going on, in their lives and why potentially making a move is good for them, and good for their family. So, I think ultimately the freedom is a really good thing. The chaos that has been created is a challenge that somebody has to figure out, but I do like hearing those stories of a guy like that who went through so much and found a place to play and got back to the big stage.
Absolutely. Myron Metcalf is our guest. The transfer portal timing, is that something that should be addressed by the NCAA of having the portal open the, Monday of, the day after the brackets are released and teams are, trying to go through the tournament, and they're also trying to get their transfer portals and players, and Iowa State got a TJ Otzelberger is able to do it because Iowa State got a bigger player in the transfer portal while they're still getting ready for Illinois. The timing of it, should it be moved back to post-April, post-national championship for that, to make it maybe a little bit easier on coaches that seem to have the complaint and maybe turning down NIT invitations because they got to worry about the transfer portal?
Yeah, I think you got to do something. You got to move it. I mean, that's just too – the timing isn't good, but I think it's bigger than that, right? I mean, you can move it, and the portal itself is going to be the challenge, right? Like, how do you balance a world where you have some teams that are going to get rid of 7, 8, 9 guys and bring in 8, 9 new guys? Like, that is already becoming a major problem. But to your question, I'll give you a story about that. So the portal opens on Monday. I know an assistant coach who had the scout, for his upcoming game. And instead of doing that, he had to go to the portal. And he told me he was on the phone all day, parents, agents, players, everybody. That was his day. And just didn't have a lot of time to get to the film and have that prep day. Guess what? His team lost. Now, I'm not saying they lost because of that, but that is the reality for a lot of these coaches. Like, the way I've talked to so many coaches, man, under 50, who are like, I'm not doing this forever. You know, they don't want to coach forever because they can't sustain it. Like, it's consuming their lives in ways that it just shouldn't. At the end of the day, I just think we need to break off of the NCAA, let all of the power schools come up with their own rules, come up with their own guidelines on NIL and the portal, and everybody can kind of agree, okay, this is reasonable. Because the way it's going, it's just not going to be sustainable. And I think the burnout level is going to be so high. Not even just from coaches, but, I mean, players too. And then I think the question we're afraid to ask with the portal, because I support the freedom.
Yeah.
But the question guys in our business are afraid to ask is, who's graduating? Who's graduating?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We know 1% of these guys got a real shot to be in the NBA. Who's getting their degrees? Like, I can't tell you, bro. I know a prominent coach who's in the Sweet 16 right now. And he told me not that long ago, he said, you wouldn't believe how many former players call me and ask for money. They're broke. So, like, there's another layer to this that, like, we're afraid to talk about because you don't want to sound like you're against the portal. But there has to be nuance in this deal. Like, it can be a great thing that they have this freedom. But it can also be a terrible thing as to how this is all being managed. Two things can be true. You got to figure out the second part.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be like we paid a lot of attention to graduation rate. I mean, that was one of the things to where, you know, you
nobody cares now.
Criticize a coach like, wow, this guy's not graduating anybody. Remember, it was like, Bob Huggins in Cincinnati. It's like they don't graduate anybody. This is you're going out and getting a bunch of people that are, coming in just to play basketball. Like, you're not getting student athletes. You're just getting basketball players. Yes. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
And now it's, are you on track to graduate? That's what we will judge you by. Because also the graduation thing was kind of BS, too. Because if you transferred to another school and graduated there, you didn't get credit for that player graduating. He had to come in as a freshman and graduate as a senior to get credit for that guy's graduation rate. That was a little skewed there because there are plenty of regular students. I transferred schools, in just regular college and had graduated somewhere else. You know, it took me 7 years, but, you know, a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
They're called doctors. But whatever, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, just blaze your own path is what I say. But to that degree, you know, when talking about the transfer portal and sort of being of two minds, Bill Self's comments got a lot of run over the weekend of him saying, you know, to Vahe Gregorian, local writer with the Kansas City Star, that, you know, Vahe asked him about this team, and it was a longer answer. What he said, and to be honest with you, I've been looking ahead to next year for the last month. That in and of itself, just those words, it's like, wow. I mean, Bill Self has sort of given up on the season. But it was a larger answer from the question about, you know, the position his team is in, that he was getting smoked by Gonzaga in the second half, and he looked at his bench and, I don't have answers. There's nothing I can do here. You just sort of have to sit there. And it's very rare, Myron, where Bill Self can sit on the sideline and go, I am ammo-less. There's nothing I can do. I don't have answers to this. And his point about, you know, looking ahead to next year was really from a CEO standpoint of, what is going on this year? How are we in this position? And how do I make sure this doesn't happen next year?
Yeah. And I mean, let's be honest about the Kansas season, right? They peaked early. You know, I mean, what they did early in the season was incredible. I mean, UConn and some of the wins they had. And then once Kevin got hurt, and let's be honest, I mean, I heard some chatter online from people about Kevin and whether or not he was willing himself to play. I probably one of the few people who talked to Kevin in between all this. Because I know he wasn't made available to most people. And I can tell you for a fact, man, that dude was risking his body every time he went out there. That dude was in training, at the trainers at 7 a.m., trying to wheel himself to play. I mean, he barely got out there for the Baylor game when he came back and his family was there, and then for senior night. I mean, those were just an amazing demonstration of his will. Because that dude was messed up and was really hurt, but was just trying to play for his guys. And Bill knew it. Like, Bill knew what was ahead. When he said Kevin's going to be back for the turn, he knew. But he was trying to be positive, but he couldn't overcome the depth issue. But I think it's interesting that you have a guy like Bill Self, a guy like John Calipari, two of the blue buds, two of the guys who literally They have to keep talent away. No, you can't come to here. We don't have a scholarship for you. But the transfer portal and NIL have made it more difficult for guys like that to get the depth. And that's another story that's not being told. Bill Self and Cal and these blue bloods, they're always going to get five or six guys where you go, we can win there.
Mm-hmm.
It's 6, 7, 8 is going to be very, very hard to recruit because 6, 7, 8 can be 1, 2, and 3 at another program, right? And that is going to be the challenge. How do you convince 6, 7, and 8? You know, how do you convince the next Furphy? No, come here.
Yeah.
You be a part of this. As opposed to, dude, why don't you go to Illinois and be a starter there? Like, that to me is the challenge that Bill Self is talking about, and people didn't want to hear it because they wanted to listen to the part about I've been thinking about next year. But what one of the greatest coaches in college basketball, one of the greatest coaches of all time is saying is, listen, it's hard to get 8 guys on a team who are all good and capable of playing and leading you to a championship. It's never been harder than it is now. And I think that's what he was expressing.
Is it, if you get into the cycle of transfer after transfer after transfer, can you get to a point of having that depth? I mean, Shaka Smart talked about in his press conference that, look, these guys, we built this team with recruiting freshmen, and if you want NIL, then don't think about Marquette. Kelvin Sampson, we built this team by recruiting high school kids, and it's two teams that may be playing each other this weekend, going up against each other. But we've also seen some teams that have been built with some transfers. The question being, like, if you're trying to have, 6, 7, 8, can you get 6, 7, 8 if you get into the cycle of, okay, well, now we've got to immediately come in and bring some transfers in? Okay, we bring some transfers in. Now our depth goes, well, screw that. You just recruited over me. So now I'm going somewhere else. And can you get out of that by then recruiting freshmen, but also if it means like you may take a step back in one particular year? Not that Kelvin Sampson had to do that. He went to a Final Four, Elite Eight, went to the second weekend last year and is a 1 seed this year and, one of the teams that can win the tournament. So he didn't actually do that. But I do just wonder if, like, you get into the cycle of, well, we're replenishing with transfer portal. We're replenishing with transfer. We're replenishing with transfers. Where does the development come from unless you've got a Furphy or an El Marco Jackson, a McDowell, guys that want to stay around and be a part of it, and you can supplement with transfers because they won a national championship, Myron, after losing to USC with on the court against USC was Ochai, Christian Brown, McCormick, DeJuan Harris, and Jalen Wilson against USC. Those are the starters that won the national championship the very next year, adding in Remy Martin. That's all they did. They added in Remy Martin to that team. And so can you get to that if you're looking at it and going, well, I've got to replenish here. I got to replenish at this spot too.
I mean, I don't know any other way. I mean, freshmen will get you fired, right? I mean, that's just like the reality today. I mean, look at what Cal has done in Kentucky. No one's had more NBA-ready guys. And, if AD had to come out and say, we're keeping them for another year, which is never a good sign, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think coaches have to make a decision. And it's hard because fans are hypocritical. Fans want flashy. They want to be able to say, we got the next first-round pick, the next lottery pick. We got the dude who's going to be a great player at the next level, and he's also helping us win. They don't necessarily want the guy who's a fifth-year guy without a name brand, but it's just a really good player. And they don't necessarily want 4 of those guys. But that's what it takes, I think, today to win a national championship, because teams are going to try to get older and not younger. Because, and I've talked to Bill Self about this, you don't have time to develop young players anymore. So that freshman who comes in, you got a guy like Marco Jackson, right?
Mm-hmm.
That freshman who comes in has to be ready, right? And if they're not ready, there's just no place for them. There's no more of the let that guy learn, we'll bring him along slowly. If he's not ready to go, he's probably going to move on, right, in the next year. And you're going to have to go find somebody else. So I think with the transfer portal, man, this is almost like it's the Wright brothers, man, the first plane or something, because everybody's trying to figure it out. But I think how a lot of coaches are thinking is, let me just get older. And I like Shaka Smart. I've known Shaka Smart for a long time. He can say the don't come to Marquette if you want NIL, because he's in the Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say that at the start of the tournament. when he was trying to get to the second weekend for the first time since VCU. You can talk with your chest out a little bit at this stage. Let me see what actually happens going forward, though. Mm-hmm. Because if you're trying to win, you're going to have to go to the portal. I don't care who you are. And if you go to the portal, there will be a demand, a financial demand to get the top talent. You ain't got to do it like that. You can stay the way you've always been. But I assure you, it's going to be hard to sustain excellence if that's the attitude.
Yeah. The point about Marco Jackson, too, it's like, you know, Marco Jackson, how disappointing his season was. Well, there were expectations on what he could be, but disappointing season compared to what a typical freshman would look like. I mean, yep. He's a freshman playing at Kansas. So what's mm-hmm. what's the relative term of disappointing for El Marco Jackson? Because at the beginning of the season, we thought, you know, Bill Self saying this guy's the best NBA talent we have on this team is El Marco Jackson. And it just didn't work out this year. Okay, well, maybe next year he turns out to be, you know, a star, you know, and grows into that with Bill Self, gets a better idea of what Bill Self is wanting, what the expectations are. If DeJuan Harris returns and K.J. Adams return, and then El Marco and Furphy return, it's all of a sudden like, okay, well, now you've got that core again, but can you add into the depth that Bill Self was talking about? And for some of these blue bloods, I just wonder, you know, can you stay old, stay talented, and stay connected? Can you do all three of those year in and year out? And it becomes, you know, more and more difficult to be able to do that. Visiting with Myron Metcalf from ESPN, benefiting Jackson County CASA, you mentioned UK and, you know, freshmen getting you fired. It did not get John Calipari fired. Mitch Barnhart came out last night and said that he has met with John Calipari. Says, as they do at the end of every season. Well, I'll tell you this, Myron, Mitch Barnhart at the end of every season does not put out a statement in saying that John Calipari will return as head coach. So that ain't something that happens at the end of every season. What do you make of what's going on in Lexington where it seems like the romance is dead between the fans, alumni, and John Calipari?
I mean, it's been a divorce in the making, right? And, you know, if somebody comes to you and says, honey, I'm going to give it one more shot, good luck, right? Mm-hmm. You're in a bad place. So I think that's their situation. When they lost to St. Peter's a couple years ago, I think that was maybe the first straw. Well, maybe the second, because remember, they go 9-16 after that, before that, right after the pandemic, which is the worst record in 100 years. You lose to St. Peter's after that. This year, day one of the SEC championship, you're out. Day one of the NCAA tournament, you're out. You lose to Oakland just because you can't stop a Division II guy from hitting 10 three-pointers. It's bad. And let's be honest. If Cal isn't owed $33 million in some way, he's gone, right? If this is a normal circumstance and the buyout isn't that, I think they would have moved on. I think the other element is, who's your replacement?
Yeah.
And there's no obvious guy out there where you say, okay, let's go get somebody else. I think a lot of these schools have spoiled fan bases, and they don't understand how hard it is to be good for this long. Like, I don't care what Kansas does after Bill Self, whenever he decides to move on. People are going to look back and go, how on earth did you win for 20 years?
Yeah.
Especially as everything changed so rapidly. And I think Cal's a little bit in that situation where he was winning for so long, they've had a step back, but at the same time, you're Mitch Barnhart, you're like, who's the guy that replaces him and gives us the best chance to win? There's no easy answer. They're going to roll with him for another year.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that either. And you know, it was obvious with John Calipari before. And then it was like, okay, if not John Calipari, well what about Jay Wright if he were to leave, right? You just go call Jay Wright. Well, he's not returning anytime soon. So then who's the next, you know, and Scott Drew, you know, seems to be happy down in Baylor. I don't know, Chris Beard, Ole Miss was the team that stepped up and took a lot of the egg to the face first. So maybe Chris Beard becomes a candidate if he keeps doing that at Ole Miss. I think Bruce Pearl would be awesome there at Kentucky, but they can't stand him. Are you able to mend those fences and heal that to bring in a Bruce Pearl? I think he would fit in perfectly with that fan base and his personality and Kentucky. It's just, you know, being at Tennessee and now being at Auburn, they no love lost between those guys. So I'm a little bit surprised that the buyout was the issue that would keep them from doing that, because You know, Kentucky basketball is like the SEC football teams. I mean, that's we see SEC football teams do the buyout, and we're not really blinking an eye, maybe at $30 million, especially when there's an offset clause and there's no lump sum that's owed to them. So it'd be $6 million per year over the next 5 years they would owe Cal. But also, you know, if he gets a job as a coach, you know, somewhere, you're not paying him like $500,000, so you're probably paying him $3 million. And with that offset clause, you know, are you willing to move on from Calipari for $3 million a year for the next 6 years? That sounds easier to do than $33 million. But then you have to have the guy in mind that you know you're going to go and land, that you're going to bring in, and this guy's going to say yes. Almost like a back-to-back days, right, Myron? We're moving on from John Calipari. Yeah. We're introducing Scott Drew as the head coach.
Yep. And the problem is the Scott Drews of the world are making a ton of money, and they're happy.
Yeah.
Like, going out to a Kentucky is no more like this gigantic lifestyle change anymore. Those guys are making a ton of money where they're at.
Yeah.
That matters.
Yep. What do you think of the tournament remaining? Is it often, you do the reseeding all the time, so is it often that the reseeding of the tournament, we see all four number ones stay number ones, all four number twos stay number twos? Typically, we don't really see all four ones and twos in the Sweet 16, but is that sort of an indication of what the selection committee, you know, sort of did with their picks of UConn, Purdue, and Houston and Iowa State, or, well, I guess Arizona and Iowa. Houston, Purdue, North Carolina, and UConn. Yeah, so it's all four number ones and number twos. Is that typical as you do the reseeding, or is there something different this year?
No, I mean, we usually lose a couple of twos, maybe, mm-hmm. or one. I mean, it hasn't been like this, you know, but I'm sure the committee's patting itself on the back that they've been able to do it. And, you know, it's been kind of a boring reseeding, but, you know, I can't eliminate Houston off of one rough finish.
Yeah, off a minute and a half.
When, the full body of work says, hey, you know what I mean? They're a legit one seed. Same way I can't suddenly make Clemson a two seed because they beat Baylor, even though their fans want that, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think the best teams remain, and one of those teams are going to win a national championship, and probably one of the one seeds, and most likely UConn. So I think the committee probably feels like they hit it. We just don't have some of the drama that maybe we hope for.
Yeah. Do you have I'm trying to look back now because I know we had you on last week, so I need to find the pick. You had UConn, Bama, Kentucky, and Creighton. Who do you have instead of Kentucky now?
Yeah, what a terrible pick. What was that thing? With
I had Kentucky and Baylor, so I'm worse than you.
I hate it. I just hate it, man.
Yeah.
I tried it some years ago against the grain,
yeah.
and I think that'll work. Other years, I'm like, let me play it straight.
Uh-huh.
It just never works for me, man.
Yep.
So I hate it. I mean, Houston, right?
Yeah.
I think, Houston, even though, you know, again, I understand why people would doubt them after kind of what happened. That's going to be the one.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see what ends up happening.
What happens with them.
Myron Medcalf from ESPN. Myron, you're the man. Appreciate it. Next time we talk, we will be discussing who is in the Final Four. Appreciate it as always, brother. Enjoy the basketball. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good.
Absolutely. There's Myron Medcalf. Great stuff from him. Always love the conversations with Myron and love having him on because different organizations around the Kansas City area benefit. And this year, Myron Medcalf benefiting Jackson County CASA, court-appointed special advocates, community volunteers just like you. They stand up, speak out to help children who have experienced abuse or neglect. Jackson County CASA recruits, trains, and supports these CASA volunteers to advocate for the best interest of children who are in the Jackson County family court system until they have a safe and permanent home. It's Jackson County CASA, C-A-S-A, jacksoncountycasa-mo.org. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll hang out with Mick Schaefer. We got teams and sound to eliminate in the bracket of sound. And we've got our Royals, Z-O-U's, the zone over unders. And I am immediately questioning myself both ways because back-to-back losses has me very, very nervous about this round of Z-O-U's. We do that next. All right, hanging out here on this Wednesday edition of the show, opening day coming up tomorrow. (913) 912-4810 is the text line. Let's get to some Royals ZOUs. Let's get to some Royals ZOUs. You know, Todd Lebo's walking around. You know what he loves? Todd Lebo loves Fogerty and Center Field. He absolutely loves that song.
You know who hates it?
Who?
Les Norman.
What?
He'll bring up that song unprovoked.
Todd actually hates it, too.
Okay.
So I think we should play it. I think we should play it in the background while we're doing Royal ZOUs, because Les is, I don't know if he's listening or not. Hi, Les, if he is. And Todd is walking
call
around.
Call in, Les, because he tells great stories. It's like, it's the Don't Stop Believing of every minor league ballpark from because, coast to coast.
Oh, man.
And he was in every minor league ballpark
you know
from
what?
Coast to coast.
From that standpoint, I would understand why he would hate
he's
that.
He's warming up in the outfield.
Because every...
Les is turning off right now.
It does remind you of baseball, though. For him, it's probably,
yeah,
you know.
It's about baseball. It should.
Is it?
Is it? It's going to be like one of those, you know, Springsteen, Born in the USA,
yeah.
Was actually anti-USA.
What?
Fogerty Center Field was actually a song about football.
Center field is a safety. I'll play center field. I'll play the deep safety
That's
position.
Free safety, man.
Yeah.
They're playing zone. Intercepting Mahomes. That's what it's about.
Born again. New grass on the field. They resod football fields all
the
time.
Time.
Are you kidding me? Rounding third quarter and heading for home after the game's over.
After the game.
Brown-eyed handsome man. That's Patrick Mahomes. All right. All right, let's do some Royal ZOUs. You want to, Mick?
Yeah, you didn't send me out any prep work.
I forgot to do that, so my apologies. I've got all of them right in front of me. You and Dylan do not. Maybe I've been looking for some sort of an advantage.
Get
I don't know.
Get out of the way to not lose. You still owe us, I believe,
I know,
for
I
one
owe
meal.
You, one
right?
meal, okay, one yeah. meal. I owe one meal. Now I owe the Chiefs ZOUs.
You're going to be...
I paid up the Royals ones.
Here's what I'm thinking. You're so high on the Royals this year that you've upped the over-under. Those are going to be higher, and you're going to still go over.
Still
so my strategy of just going under on all the Royals bets might work out.
I know. And that, see, I start to like doubt myself. Like I was looking at these and I'm like, oh, I will go here. No, I haven't even filled them in yet.
If you just
because
ask
I've
for
gone
help
back and
on
forth
any of these games and not be judge, jury, and executioner, then you might do better.
All right. We're going to cut this into two segments. We'll do the pitching side first. So we've got 10 different ZOU categories that we will look at, that we will pick for the Royals and the home opener tomorrow coming up in 26 and a half hours. 26 and a half. Tomorrow.
Sure. Yeah.
With the first pitch with Cole Ragans on the mound, we start with that. Cole Ragans wins on the season. We set it at 35 and a half. I'm going under. I'm going under
it's
with
a tough
that.
One.
You know what? I'm so excited about this season. We set Cole Ragans wins at 1.5. I'm going over. No. 10.5. 10.5 wins for Cole Ragans this year. Getting to 10 wins in Major League Baseball, not the easiest. And
the Royals.
But a lot of excitement around Cole Ragans. Over under 10.5. And here I am already starting off with an over. Pick for Cole Ragans over 10.5 wins for the Royals. Mick?
I mean, he had 5 wins for the Royals last year.
Yeah, I do apologize not sending these to you.
In 12 starts.
I didn't do it on purpose.
I am tempted to go over, but I'm going to play the game. I'm going to go under. I'm a cheer for a loss.
I'm already down one to Mick. There we go. Dylan, what say you? Over under 10
really
and a half
high
wins.
On Bubic last year. We were really high on Bubic.
What do you say?
I'll go under as well.
Under.
Just,
okay.
Temper
well,
expectations. I'll great. Be pleasantly surprised.
Oh, Ragans has hit his max on Tommy John surgeries, right?
With, you can only have 2.
God's like, choose your max. Let up after that.
The pitching gods, like, yeah. Look, man, we made you left-handed. You are going to have a couple Tommy Johns, though. So that's, the give and take of this whole thing.
He said Tommy's Johns.
Tommy's Johns, plural. Yes. Tommy Johns?
Yeah.
Tommy's John, yeah.
Tommy's
it's
John.
Like the...
Passers-by.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yep, it could be. No, I was thinking of something else. But Michael Wacha ERA, 3.8. So I'll let you look at the Michael Wacha ERA. So Michael Wacha's ERA.
Was 3.2 last year.
The last couple of years, he's been sub-4. So last year, he had a 3.2. The year before that, he had a 3.32. 2021, he had a 5 ERA. So a 3.3.
And what are you setting at?
And a 3.2. We're setting it at 3.8.
3.96 is his career.
Yes.
I mean, 3.94 would still be fine, be good. But I'll maybe less innings now to make up for it. I'm going to go over.
Over 3.8?
Over 3.8.
Okay. Dylan, what say you?
I'm going to go over as well.
Just the Royals tax, you just have to apply to all these numbers.
I went over as well. I went over as well because last year I got burned with the pitching side of the over-under. Brady Singer's ERA, we set it at 3.
It was like 5.2 or something like that, wasn't it?
5.52. It was 5.5 last year. And I got burned last year. I ended up finishing last with only 5 points. You and Corey, or Josh, tied with
same
6.
Person,
same
point.
Person, yeah, absolutely.
Both levers.
Beards won with 9. And the reason you didn't finish last tied with me, Mick, is you were the only one that said there would not be a long-term deal in the middle of the season last year. We all said yes. You said no.
Won that by a few months.
Hey, it still counts. All right, so last year we did saves, but we did it with specifically Scott Barlow. Yeah. Since there is, it's expected to be Will Smith.
They haven't come out and said.
No.
Closer, right?
So what we're going to do is, is a little bit like, we'll do saves overall here in a second, but we're going to do a little bit like we did wide receivers this last year. Who leads the team in saves this year? What player do you look at for the Royals and say this person's going to lead the team in saves? I start off with this one, and I want to go Will Smith, but I'm kind of starting to go opposite theory here with the Royals, even though I should be, you know, optimistic and things like that. I'm going to go James MacArthur. I'm going to go James MacArthur instead of Will Smith, because I think Will Smith is the obvious answer, and I think the obvious answer has burned me a couple of times. Mick, what say you?
Well, I was going to say James MacArthur.
Well, then say it.
Look at his career saves.
He had 4 last year. He came on strong at the end of the year after Scott Barlow. He got rolling, ended up with 4 saves, finished 6 games. Numbers were better down the stretch than the overall numbers of 4.6.
I'll go with the obvious one. I'll go Will Smith, different maybe.
No, I appreciate you being different.
Yeah.
So that means Will Smith will lead this team in saves. So well done, Mick. Dylan, what say you?
I'll go Rashee Rice again.
Sky Moore. I'm feeling Sky Moore.
Can I have a Hunter Renfrow bet for both a Chiefs and a Royals over-under?
Not right now, you can't.
Not yet.
Dylan, what say you?
I'll go with Will Smith as well.
Okay. Well, he's on my fantasy team, so I hope that ends up happening. So there we go. We had a text earlier. We were joking about, started the show talking about hot bats in Little League. You know, the bats that are hotter bats. And text said, hold on, your son's Little League team's getting play and I can't talk about my fantasy team? Like, great point, sir. Great point. Now, the question is bullpen total saves. Last year they had 27. So just so you know, last year they had 27. We're setting it 35.5. So 27 total.
About half of their wins.
Half of their wins ended up being saves.
I wonder what is a typical percentage of
it's a great question.
Wins that are saves? I would guess it's more than half if you have a strong closer.
Mm-hmm.
35?
35.5. That would be if the
Royals
would be get
roughly
to 70.
70 some wins, right?
And that's just half.
The same percentage.
And if it's more than half and the Royals are maybe playing closer games, I don't know. But we do start with you, Mick.
I'll go over just because I think this offense is going to produce a 3/4 to a run more per game, which will result in more save opportunities, which should result in more saves. I'll go 35.5. I'll go over. I'll throw a little bone there. A little over.
Dylan, what say you?
27
over as well,
right? That's really low.
Yeah.
I went under, so.
Oh, man. I am hating the Royals.
And I'm fighting myself on this. I'm like, well, no, I think Walker's going to have under a 3.8
ERA.
I don't think Dylan
and I have ever had a different answer on any of these ZOUs.
Nope, you're both the same exact ones. Also, you guys, when picking the Chiefs games, also pick the same score.
All the ones we've ever done.
Yeah. You guys are losers. Let's take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll do the hitting, and if we run out of time with that, then we'll continue
cool,
in the
1
o'clock hour as well.
Fielding.
Then we'll do defensive.
Managerial.
We'll do managerial, yes. How many wins above replacement manager?
Yes.
How many wore him? How many worms? How many worms does Matt Quatreau have?
Hopefully a lot today. I'm about to head to the ballpark.
We'll take a timeout, come back, and continue with the ZOUs next.
All right, let's go. We're getting all the offensive ZOUs in right now.
Under.
Over.
Under.
Over.
Under.
Over.
Under.
Over. All right,
and
there we go.
Dylan has my answers, too.
Dylan's just the exact same as Mick. We've got them all. There we go. Over. One home run for Salvi. That's what we put it at. And you went under.
Dang it.
All right. Yay. Stolen bases for Bobby Witt. One half. I went over. You went under. So I feel good about this year. I am so confident that Bobby Witt's going to get one stolen
base. Just
for
the month of March, right? Is it what we're talking about?
I'll still take the over.
Yeah, me too.
About just for the day of Thursday. Just for the day of March 28th. Does he have a stolen base? We'll find out. No, we will do the ZOU offense on the other side. And we'll talk about some of the names we just mentioned. Also, we'll get our win totals. And we'll throw a special one in that we have not done in years past with the Royals because of a couple of players on the Royals that actually fall into a specific really cool category. We'll do that next.